The scripture today is Psalms 46 from the Common English Bible. God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world falls apart and the mountains crumble into the center of the sea. When the waters roar and rage, when the mountains shake because of its surging waves. Selah. There is a river whose streams gladden God's city, the holiest well of the Most High. God is in that city. It will never crumble. God will help it when morning dawns. Nations roar, kingdoms crumble. God utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of heavenly forces is with us. The God of Jacob is our place of safety. Selah. Come see the Lord's deeds, what devastation he has imposed upon the earth. Bringing wars to an end in every corner of the world, breaking the bow and shattering the spear, burning chariots with fire. That's enough. Now know that I am God. I am exalted among all nations. I am exalted throughout the world. The Lord of heavenly forces is with us. The God of Jacob is our place of safety. Selah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Y'all can sing with me if you know the words. You can do the motions too if you know the motions. Do you remember the motions? I think we all had different ones earlier. Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again. So you guys know it. My pride and joy when I was little was being able to do the finger part, because that was hard when I was little. And I loved that song. Maybe it was because of that, because I don't like spiders. So I don't know why else I would love that song. But it's a really good little song, right? This little spider had something, didn't it? It was going along up the spout. I'm guessing that's the gutter, right? Going up the gutter, headed for the roof, so it could build this really nice little web up there and live its best little spider life. It was doing everything it was supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden, it's washed out back to the ground. We don't even know. Maybe that spider had begun the journey the day before and had stopped halfway, and now it's all the way halfway across the yard, and it's got further to go than it did when it started. I feel like some of us can imagine what it's like to be the little arachnid in the song. Life knocks us back, swats us around, washes us away as we try to make progress. But the song doesn't go, he pondered way too much about this song, the Itsy Bitsy Spider, that it didn't go into the blues. The spider didn't sing the blues at any time during the song, right? It's all happy and joyful, and we smile when we sing it. So we don't know what all the spider had to overcome, what obstacles it crawled across. It doesn't tell us about all the other little spiders that were lost along the way. It just says this thing happened. The Itsy Bitsy Spider was knocked down, and then it got up. The sun shone, and it went further. It's a cute little song and so inspiring. What did the spider have that kept it moving? What is it that we have that keeps us moving when life swats us down and knocks us backwards? It's important for us to know what it is that we have. So when we're going through those times when the water's gushing against us, we can remember over and over, what is our what? What do we have? As we move into the Thanksgiving season and in recognition, if we didn't know, according to all of the decorations in Walmart, there's a holiday that falls between Halloween and Advent season, and it's called Thanksgiving. And we observe it so that we can remember to be thankful for all of the good things in our lives. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to pause and be thankful before we start into the season of Christmas. And this week, we thank God for being our refuge and our strength, our rock in times of trouble. So I guess today, We might sing the blues a little, if you will, but what we're not going to do is we're not going to get stuck in the blues, just like the spider. In Psalms 23, which we heard a little bit about last week, we hear that beautiful line that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." Though we walk in the dark, and though death is scary, and that seems like a pretty heavy one to face, right? Darkness and death, that's scary, that's heavy. But then the Psalms today takes that even a little further. So if this is the worst thing you can think of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, let's go a little darker. Kind of. It starts great, and then it paints this picture for us. When the world falls apart, when the mountains crumble into the center of the sea, and the waters roar and rage, and the mountains shake because of the surging waves. In the beginning of our Bible, we have that Genesis, the beginning, and in the beginning, we see creation happens. And when God first hovered over what was to be creation, it was all water, right? And the absence of God is chaos, and it is in the Old Testament thinking it was water that was not contained. That was chaos. That was an absence of God. So when God became part of creation, when God took control, first thing that was done was all that water was contained. And God was there. And then life could come forth because there was dry land that came up out of that water. So in their time, what they visualized as creation, what they visualized of earth, was they had in their mind these giant pillars that I don't know where they came from, but giant pillars that came up, and on top of the pillars sat the base of the mountains, the roots, as they call them, of the mountains, sat on top of the pillars, and these roots were under the ocean, under all of the waters that we see contained. And so as long as those pillars were intact, then the mountains could stand, and as long as the mountains could stand, the waters could be contained, and therefore God was there. And everything would be all right. And so the psalmist starts out by saying, "I'm not afraid." That's that first vision, that first visual we have of the song written that says, "I'm not afraid, even when the pillars are crackling and the mountains are shaking and all of creation is in danger of falling apart." See, that's worse than even thinking to myself, "Gosh, something might happen to me." To think something might happen to all of creation. They want us to see the calmness and the promise that was being clung to, even if the very worst total destruction happened. "I am not afraid because God is there." So whatever you can imagine, it doesn't matter how bad it is, God is our strength. Even in the end. And then it pauses at the end of each. There are three verses to this song. This first one, they start out, "I'm not afraid," and then they paint this picture of world destruction, and at the end of this picture of world destruction, it says, "Selah." And nobody knows what Selah means. They think it might have been, it's really funny, because of all of the words in the Bible, they can go back and transliterate what different things mean. And this is one that has not been translated. Other than it could have been for the maestro to tell the maestro something musical to do. But what it seems to be, because of the way that it's used, it seems to be saying, pause here and reflect. Like a big rest. So I'm not afraid. Total destruction. Pause and think about that. And then it starts the second verse. And the second verse, the images go from this chaos and calamity into something much more gentle and soft. It talks about streams. And streams were considered contained water, right? So that meant God was there and everything was okay. And these streams, these gentle streams, flowed into the city of God. And God was Lord over all of this. So the second verse takes us from this is what things can look like to this is the beauty of the peace that we have in God. And then it pauses again, Selah. Now think on that. And then the third verse comes in and it sort of takes these two ideas and it pushes them together. Because it talks about the destruction coming through war and for political things, and goes through all of this stuff, and it says that God, in the middle of all the calamity, God will stand up and say, "That's enough, y'all. That's enough. I am God. I am ruler over the world. I am ruler over all the politics. I am ruler over all of the things and all of the calamities of life. I am, and that's enough chaos. Because in the end, I will win. Salah." Think on that. Calamity will happen because life happens. We like that second verse of the psalm, the one where we can lose ourselves in the quiet water of the streaming little river going into the city of God. We like to look outside, and we're talking about the beauty of the weather that's coming up this week, but we really enjoy spring, don't we? When everything is new, when the grass is green and the flowers are just starting to bloom, Easter seems to be just the beginning of all of this beautiful new life. We like the image of Jesus standing in the garden surrounded by this beautiful paintbrush of God. But in our region, winter happens. And winter is our reality. And although snow is pretty from the window when you're sitting by the fireplace inside with your hot cup of cocoa, shoveling the snow with frozen toes and fingers is not so fun. It's nice to look at. But ice-covered roads and sliding around, not so much. And when that snow begins to melt and it becomes mud, we're not really so fond of that either. Because winter is the death of our beautiful spring and summer. But we have to do that in order for nature to reemerge, having rested. And it's stronger. And there's fewer bugs, and we kind of like that too. Likewise, we enjoy that picture of our beautiful Savior, but looking upon him is even sweeter because we know that first Christ took on the cross and took our sins with him. The strength of our Lord is our hope. It is our what? It is our motivation. It's what we cling to, but not just cling to. It keeps us from being still and simply clinging. It pushes us and moves us forward and up the spout when the rains come in and wash us back. The refuge of God is what keeps us climbing, and it becomes more precious to us when we can look back and see the obstacles that we've just had to overcome. And you know, some obstacles, you don't just jump. Ever watched hurdlers run in track? I like to watch hurdlers. I used to try and be a hurdler. I wasn't very good at it because I'm short and they're tall. But I could watch other people run, and they just fly over those little hurdles, and I was in awe of how they could do that with such ease. Well, likewise, have you watched a rock climber? You can watch that hurdler and just be like, "Oh, that's so cool, yay, you finished." Now, that rock climber, every time they take a new bit, you're sitting on the edge of your chair. They like to put those little videos on Facebook, don't they, so that we're just like, please make it. You're sitting on the edge of your chair and you're celebrating every step, every inch that they're able to move forward. Sometimes in life we have hurdles, but other times in life we have rocks to climb. And we worry about making it that other step. We hold our breath, and sometimes we forget to be thankful for the inch that we made it. As many of you know, and our daughter is here, but I did ask permission to talk about her a little bit in church this morning. A few months ago, she was car shopping, and we had to play juggle the vehicle for a while. And some of our friends at Ohio Street were really wonderful and kind of shared cars with us. And one of them happens to be a car dealer, helped us get into a car. And she was very excited to get the car that she was looking for. It's been a little bit of a challenge for her off and on this year, so the car was an inch, you know, on the rock. And she enjoyed it, decorated it for Halloween. Mom rolled up to a graveside service in this little Halloween decorated car with all of the orange decorations across the dash. And I know people had to be going, okay, that's interesting for Pastor Julie to be driving. She enjoyed it. You know, it was a push forward. Well, Friday morning, she was driving to work. No big deal. This is a Friday. She got up 69 Highway to that spot where 151st Street, the construction is all going. Still no big deal. Slows down 55 miles an hour. It's a Friday. Everything is right. And suddenly it's not. Suddenly something caught her attention. She looked out her driver's window, and where the window should have been, there was a giant semi-headlight that she was now part of and moving very fast when she didn't think that she should be. At 6:47, my cell phone rang, and it was her. She was upset and needed me to come and said I've been hit by a truck. When I got there, the car was off the road parallel to the semi. There was only a tiny smudge indicating where he had hit her. And she can't really remember the impact. But see, people assume that since there was something happened, that somebody was crossing a road. There was a meant to be an intersection, or there was something going on. But the fact was, she wasn't merging or turning or doing anything except driving forward, doing exactly what she was supposed to be doing, and suddenly wasn't. She hadn't been doing anything wrong, and her car is probably totaled, and has the frustrating task now of going back and shopping for a car again. And those are difficult and hard things, but the thing is, it just seemed like she'd made progress up the cliff, and something pushed her down. And when I was talking to my sister-in-law, she said, "How's Kylie doing?" I said, "She's fine, other than so discouraged." Because when you're trying to do everything you're supposed to be doing, going to work, paying for your vehicle, driving the speed limit, watching other things, and someone else or something in life comes and smacks you and knocks you down, it's very frustrating. And here's what she said to me, and it just really resonated with the psalm. It made I think too hard about such simple things. But she said, well, she is trying hard, and she got knocked back. Both things are true. See, in life, we have a tendency to think, even if we're doing 20 things and they're all moving forward, when one thing pushes us back, we just feel like our whole life has took a step back, don't we? We just feel like everything is going against us. And people from a distance who are watching us climb that mountain or that rock, they can see us making all this progress. And when we miss that one foothold and slide back an inch, they say, but look how far you've come. But to us, in the middle of all of the stuff that happens in life, we feel like we just got washed all the way back across the yard and have to start further than we ever did. And it can be so discouraging to feel like we're not making progress. But the thing is, we are. And the rest of the world can see it, and God can see it, and is encouraging us to just keep going. Keep moving. Don't let this one thing be the thing that will slow down your full-on progress. Because when those little things happen, Satan goes, aha, I have a foothold now. And I'm going to needle you and say, man, everything's stinky, isn't it? But it's not. Both things can be happening. We can be making progress and have a bad day at the same time. It's hard to see. But it's the truth. The good news, friends, is in the calamity, when things come along and they bang into the pillars of our life and they make us think like everything is crumbling when really it's not, the good news is God is there in the middle of all of that. Now, we might not be able to hear God's voice. I love, we had a Bible study here several years back. Remember when we studied Daniel and we watched these videos, and the person who made the videos, her name escapes me, Beth Moore, said, you can't hear and see all the stuff that's going on in the spiritual side of things, the spiritual realm, but there's a lot of things going on you can't see or hear. So when we're in the middle of all of this other stuff, we can't see or hear, but God is the one out here in this other part saying, that's enough for this person right now. God is there standing up and fighting. The good news is we have someone to cling to listen for, and to fight along with us. He says, I am the exalted. I am in power of the world, and you are safe in my embrace. There are people in the world who don't know the name of God, and they don't have this truth to cling to or to help hold on to as we scratch tooth and nail to move. And it is up to us to be the ones to tell them the name of God. Because when we see the sliding, we also tell each other, but I see all the progress you're making. We here together in this worship space are here because we know, or at least want to know, about the Word and the work of God so that we can face the hurdles and the cliffs in life. Even when we long for the gentle water, the truth is we got to go through a lot of climbing to reach the water. And it's exhausting, and I feel it. But I ask you, no matter how frustrating the day is, don't quit. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on us. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Because we love you too much for that. And God loves you even more than that. God loves you so much that he sent his son to show you. He loves you so much that he will stand up for you against the world. And he loves you so much that he wants you to hear the message of Psalms 46 today. And then beyond today, be grateful that God is our rock. God is our strength. God is our salvation. And when we come across somebody who doesn't have that to cling to, I hope you can remember Psalms 46. If you can only remember that part, Psalms 46, let's Google it together. Mr. Google can tell us what it says. And I'll share with you about my God, my rock, and my salvation. At the beginning of the message, I said, what is it that the itsy bitsy spider had that kept them moving when the rain washed it out? In my mind, I think the spider knew the name of God. I think all nature does, to be honest. And I think the spider knew that God was refuge, strength, future, and sure footing, and that no matter what floods would come along, that another day would come and God would bring that sunshine to dry up the day before his worries so that he could put one foot in front of the other. I think the spider took shelter in that truth and borrowed upon the strength of God, holding fast to the promise, and then going back and trying again until he reached the very top of the spout. In life, be yourself, because who you are is wonderful. But in those moments when you can't be yourself, be the itsy bitsy spider. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you bring us such encouraging word, that you have put together this book that we can just reflect on, that we can see and imagine all of the things that the writers must have seen and take that in and Selah, just ponder upon that. Lord, I thank you that when the calamities of life happen, you are our rock, our strength. I thank you that you don't want us to be still and sit and sing the blues and get stuck in that you want us to continue moving, and that you will inspire us to take another step. Lord, for those moments when we don't feel strong, I pray that you would remind us, Psalm 46, I am your strength today when you don't have it for yourself. And tomorrow when you meet your friend who's struggling, I'll be the strength for them. Lord, I just pray we would hear that. We would hold that. We would remember that and not let the shaky parts of the world get us down. Lord, I pray that no one in here ever gives up on themselves, and especially not on you. Lord, we love you, and it is in love for you that we pray. Amen.